You're listening to a bulletin of news from the United Nations in New York. I'm Deanne Penn. The International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, has scheduled a new meeting with Iran to be held on the 8th of June in Vienna. IAEA Director General Yukiya Amano is urging the country to sign a framework cooperation deal and provide inspectors with access to the Parchin military site. Mr. Amano says the IAEA continues to verify the non-diversion of nuclear material declared by Iran under its safeguards agreement.
However, Iran is not providing the necessary cooperation to enable the agency to provide credible assurance about the absence of undeclared nuclear material and activities in Iran, and therefore to conclude that all nuclear material in Iran is in peaceful activities. I urge Iran to take steps toward the full implementation of all relevant obligations in order to establish international confidence in the exclusively peaceful nature of its nuclear program.
Iran has denied it is developing nuclear weapons and insists its atomic activities are for power reactors. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has warned of a sharply worsening humanitarian situation in South Sudan's Upper Nile state. Antonio Guterres says over the past 3 weeks, an estimated 35,000 refugees have arrived there from Sudan's Blue Nile state. This is on top of an existing refugee population of approximately 70,000. Derek Mbata reports.
Antonio Guterres says the arrival of the refugees in Upper Nile is a dramatic change in an already difficult humanitarian situation. He says many of the refugees are in a shockingly bad condition and report having to eat nothing but leaves as they make their way across the border. The refugees are fleeing fighting between the Sudanese armed forces and rebels of the Sudan Liberation Army North. UNHCR is concerned about the safety of the refugees who are too close to the border, and bus and tractor trailer transport is being provided to move them further inland. Derek Mbata, United Nations.
The situation of workers in the occupied Arab territories is extremely worrying and remains precarious, according to the annual report of the International Labour Organization, ILO. The survey has been submitted to the 101st session of the International Labour Conference in Geneva. The ILO's Kari Tapiola summed up the report's findings by saying, in short, there was not much good news around. He says the ILO is particularly concerned about part of the West Bank known as Area C.
Area C of the West Bank, which after all is to be an essential part of a Palestinian state because it covers 60% of the landmass, but it is under full Israeli control. And that, together with the expansion of settlement activity, led us into saying that if this goes on, there is no room for a viable Palestinian state.
The Green Passport Initiative has been launched by the UN Environment Programme, UNEP, and the government of Brazil in Rio de Janeiro. The campaign, which started ahead of World Environment Day on 5 June, aims to help travelers become more environmentally conscious. UNEP spokesperson Nick Natal says thousands of green passports will be distributed to visitors coming to Brazil in June for the UN Sustainable Development Conference known as Rio Plus 20.
It looks like a passport, except it contains lots and lots of information on how to green your visit, how to choose environmentally friendly hotels, how to source food that's been sustainably grown here in the city of Rio de Janeiro. And it links to a website which is packed with even more information.
That website is www.unep.org/greenpassport. You've been listening to a bulletin of news from the United Nations in New York. The expansion of Israeli settlements and the realities of occupation have created a precarious and worrying situation for workers in the occupied Arab territories. That assessment comes from the International Labour Organization, ILO, in a report released on Monday. The ILO has presented a report on the situation of workers in the occupied Arab territories since 1980. The findings in this latest study come from a mission that visited the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Gaza, the Syrian Golan, and Israel earlier this year. The mission was headed by Kari Tapiola of Finland.
Last year when we did this report, the general expectation was that things would move in a certain direction. Very prominently, there was an expectation that the discussion in the United Nations on recognition of a state of Palestine would lead into results. What we had to note this year was that due to a certain number of things, and we would like to call them a unhappy coincidence of different situations, so actually the optimism that we saw there last year, which was relative and cautious, had turned into rather much of a pessimism.
The report finds that while the unemployment rate in the occupied Palestinian territory dropped from nearly 24% in 2010 to 21% last year, overall joblessness is still higher than in 2000. Furthermore, nearly three-quarters of Palestinians, or 71%, are under the age of 30, and they are concerned about job prospects. Nada Al-Nashif is the ILO Regional Director for the Arab States. She says they have implemented a $5.5 million program addressing areas such as decent work, strengthening labor rights, and creating a social protection system.
We had a very interesting and actually very constructive program dealing with women and cooperatives, looking at the capacity building and looking at business development services for women.
The report says that despite the ongoing difficulties, the process of building a Palestinian state continues. It also cites the changes towards democracy and greater openness in the Arab world as another element of hope. Even if you have a national passport, the UN Environment Programme, UNEP, and Brazil are encouraging all who visit Rio de Janeiro these days to get a green passport. Just ahead of World Environment Day, June 5th, Brazil is letting tourists know that with a green passport, they can make their holidays more sustainable. Nick Natal, spokesman for UNEP, explained to Jerry Adams how the green passport works.
Well, you know, tourism is the world's biggest industry. It's something like 11% of the world's GDP. And tourism can be a force for positive change in the world, but it can also cause damage in terms of local environments, in terms of local communities, and also has quite large emissions associated with it in terms of people traveling by aircraft. So what we've done here in Rio is get together with the local authorities and the Environment Ministry to launch the Green Passport. And essentially, it is a passport. It looks like a passport, except it contains lots and lots of information on how to green your visit, how to choose environmentally friendly hotels, how to source food that's been sustainably grown here in the city of Rio de Janeiro. And what we're hoping to do is distribute this over the coming days, where World Environment Day is taking place this year, distribute to the 50,000-plus people who are attending the upcoming Rio Plus 20 summit in only a few weeks' time in Rio de Janeiro. And the authorities here are very keen to have the green passport tailored for national parks in Brazil, for other cities in Brazil, and also for two major, major sporting events that are coming up in Brazil over the coming years. That's the FIFA World Cup and also the Olympics, which Brazil is hosting.
So say I have a green passport and I'm in Rio today. What advantage will that give me?
Well, first, the passport talks a little bit about overarching issues like how did you travel here? You can calculate what your emissions were from where you came from. It will also talk about alternative forms of transport. For example, if you're traveling between cities here from Rio to somewhere else, it will give information about railways. It also will give you information about, you know, recycling, the recycling systems available here. And this kind of information, including, you know, hotels, for example. There are hotels here trying to do the right thing in terms of the way they manage their operations. And the Green Passport will give you tips on, you know, which hotels are doing that.
And part of the idea of this Green Passport, I understand, is to bring the message of sustainable development from the ivory tower to the people.
Well, we're here, you know, only weeks before the Rio Plus 20 summit, 20 years after the 1992 Rio Earth Summit. And the idea is that many people in academia, within government, and within, you know, the NGO community know what sustainable development is, but for many average people, it's still a bit of a mystery. And that's one of the things that this Green Passport is also trying to address.
You've been listening to United Nations Radio in New York. I'm Deanne Penn.